ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
We are not going backwards from here. The direction of this football club is strong. We are confident the days ahead for Essendon are the best days that we will see from this club, and we're excited about the future.
Not going backwards, Essendon President Andrew Welsh. And to be honest, it'd be hard to go backwards. The club has won once in its last 24 games under Brad Scott, which somewhat explains the coach's sacking, except it was just 6 weeks ago that Welsh said Scott would win a premiership for the Bombers. If you're confused, imagine the players. Now, this is a club that has never really recovered from the supplement saga. And the coach from that era, James Hurd, is remarkably in the mix for a return, according to at least one club legend. What now for Essendon? I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Adam Ramanauskas is an Essendon club legend. Rama, thanks so much for joining us. After one win from more than 20 games, they've finally pulled the rug on Brad Scott at the Bombers. What was your immediate reaction to that news that they'd moved on from the senior coach?
Probably a little bit surprised, to be totally honest. I think if you listen to the commentary that's come out of the club over the last couple of weeks, it's been very much talking about a united front and continuing on with the strategy that they had. So getting the news very early this morning was probably a little bit surprising.
Yeah, I mean, it was only 6 weeks ago that the club president, Andrew Welsh, said that Brad Scott would be the next Bombers premiership coach. Welsh didn't have a great explanation as to what had changed over the last 6 weeks.
Numerous conversations around the direction of the football club. And when the decision was made that Brad wouldn't be a long-term coach of the football club, we needed to act on that.
Does that tell us something about the president and the board's judgment? What kind of story does that tell?
No, I don't think it tells a story about their judgment. I think if you listen to what Andrew Welsh spoke about, they've clearly had a set of KPIs that they've been using around performance. I think they've reviewed that over the weekend and yesterday, and come to the conclusion as a board that Brad wasn't hitting those.
At the end of the day, we've won one game this year, one in the last 26 or 27. There are reasons to that, but we need to continue to build a winning environment, and the areas that we're assessing from a development perspective were not going the right way. That overlapped with the realities of the losses we've been having and the way that we've been having them is what made the conversation with the board and the decision that come out the back of it.
Whether they were explained to Brad throughout his time as coach or whether they were made public enough for others to understand, maybe that's what comes out in the wash over the coming days.
Yeah, I mean, Scott, we've seen him make mention in previous weeks that this is not a direction he's picked alone as a senior coach, that the board, the management at the club was on board with the choice of direction they've taken.
And I think it takes a special kind of lunatic to actually lead this sort of thing, because if you weren't focused on the club's future and it was about just you and your position, you'd have a very different strategy. You'd go and get as many experienced players and high quality players as you could for the short term. We didn't do that. I fully endorse that strategy and support it. And I'm tasked with the responsibility of leading it, and I intend to see it through.
The club claim he had the best chance to succeed.
And I look at the legacy of the decisions that he made from this football club, Caddy, Kakko, Roberts, Farrow, Sharp, Roby. Those decisions is what set the pillars for this club to be moving forward. But we needed to continue to see progress from those areas, those guys in that band, our medium-age players, and then also our older players.
If you were another coach looking at the Essendon job, would you have confidence that there is sort of alignment and trust in the direction?
I think the question that you'll be asking as a new coach is around, well, is it around performance or is it around seeing this strategy through? Now, I imagine they both roll into the one conversation, but I guess if you look at last year, performance was always going to be up and down considering all the injuries they had. I think this year, again, if you look at Friday night as the example, losing their captain, losing Sam Durham very early in the game.
We're not shying away from the challenges we've got in front of us, but it's hard tonight not to feel this sense of deja vu of the last 18 months of just getting guys on the park to build something, to show improvement when you're just
you know, throwing guys from half back to half forward to the goal square to one ball, trying to patch it together.
If you listen to Andrew Welsh in the press conference, he has blooded these players. Brad has done what they've asked of him. It's probably now that they're talking, they go into the industry of being a win-loss industry. And I think it's, you know, it's one of 27 and the like. But again, I think there's been circumstance around that, whereas Brad has been doing the right thing by the football club and trying to give these players games, where he possibly could have went another direction if he wanted to.
You're a heart and soul Essendon person. I wonder, do you feel like Brad Scott has been a victim of not being a, you know, a traditional inverted commas or old Essendon person?
No, I don't. No, I don't believe that at all. I think Brad came in and did absolutely all he could and has done the right thing for the Essendon Football Club. I think that's very important for people to understand. You know, coaches can come in and go a complete other direction. Brad came in. He agreed to a strategy with himself, the board, and the CEO. And he was, I thought he was doing a good job with that. But I don't think, I think the notion of not being an old Essendon person is not correct.
Club legend Tim Watson, we saw him speaking on Melbourne radio earlier today about a potential return of James Hurd to the senior coaching role at Essendon.
You cannot believe the rank and file Essendon fan that turn up to these nights and how pro James Hurd they are.
But they don't appoint coaches.
But how many of those people would want James Hurd to come back and be the coach of Essendon?
Welsh left the door open on that matter in the press conference.
Oh, we're not ruling anyone in or anyone out of this.
You know Hurd. Is he the man for this crisis in your view?
I just think Essendon need to find the best candidate to take this group forward. It's been a long time from success. Clearly, the fans are starting to get restless. Now, if James is the best person and the best candidate for the role, fantastic. Andrew Welsh and Tim Roberts both spoke about going through a process in the next couple of weeks and finding the best candidate. So whether James wants to put his hand up and apply for that role, we've got to remember he applied for the role last time, and Brad Scott got the role. So they, in the board's wisdom last time, or the selections committee's last time, they thought Brad was a better candidate than James Hurd.
He was so central to such a rough chapter in the club's history, the supplement saga, that has really, I guess, still playing a role in some of the struggles, you would have to say, at Essendon. Could he seriously be entertained as a consequence? And I guess the other point is, when you look at the market of experienced candidates or people who are presently working in assistant roles, do you think he could be a serious candidate for the role?
I think he could be. That's if James wants to be. That's totally up to him. But if you listen to James talk through the media now, clearly his football knowledge is still there. But I just think Essendon have got to get the best candidate for this role. They talk about the strategic plan and where they're at with it.
Oh, look, this decision sits within a strategy that remains for the whole of the club. And this strategy was set 3 years ago, and we're a chunk of the way through that, but not finished yet. And that remains. We'll continue to go to the draft and get high-end talent, chasing uncontracted players and free agents, and build our list.
Whether they're halfway through it, it's going to be who's going to be the best candidate to see this strategic plan through.
You're so plugged into the club, but also the footy ecosystem with the work that you do, both in broadcasting but across the industry, over the course of your career, post playing as a player manager. Who would you see as the best candidate in your view?
Well, this is the thing. That's a really tricky question because you know there's the notion of you go and get a senior coach that has never coached before. So there's so many good assistant coaches out there at the moment, no doubt, that are coming through the ranks. But then there are also a lot of experienced senior coaches that have had a lot of success as well. You know, John Longmire's a premiership coach. Adam Simpson's a premiership coach. Simon Goodwin's a premiership coach. Nathan Buckley was a kick away from being a premiership coach. So there's a number of terrific candidates out there, but they've got to be a terrific candidate for the Essendon Football Club. And I think that's the big difference. It's, yep, it can be a name or it can be a first-time coach, but it's just got to be the best person for that role.
Do you think Carlton's immediate bounce off the back of Voss's departure and what Josh Frazier has been able to do there has played a role in this?
No, I don't. I don't. I think they were completely different circumstances in what we were dealing with there. I think there, Carlton's decision was clearly based on performance and particularly what was happening in second halves.
Hand pass to Garcia. Great centering kick over the head of Mason Wood. He gathers, steadies in the left forward pocket, bangs through another. Six unanswered goals in this third quarter. Seven in the match. And it's unravelling for the Blues once more.
I think it may have forced the question, maybe at board level, to say, well, if we're going to do this, we need to be in the market early, because otherwise a club like Carlton will get the jump on us with interviewing others. But also there's Tasmania to think about as well. And Tasmania have spoken about wanting to appoint a senior coach by the end of 2026. So, you know, that may have come into consideration with the Essendon board's thinking around terminating Brad.
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it? Just the change of the market right now. As you say, three really compelling roles for a senior coach, four established senior coaches out there, a host of talented assistants out there. If you were looking at Carlton versus Essendon versus Tasmania, what would you see as the most compelling role?
I mean, I'd see opportunity, and all for completely different reasons as well. I think, you know, Carlton have still got, they're probably more a mature list at the moment, where you could come in and make a real impact. Essendon are a younger list building at the moment, where in a couple of years' time it can be a real power again. Andrew Wells spoke about they expect every player on their list to be in their next premiership team.
You know, we look at the steps that need to be taken from our playing group to be able to realise that ultimate success. We think we've got a playing group. We've made decisions around who we've gone after from a draft, the type of characteristics that those players are, to give us the best opportunity of success.
And then I think the excitement of building a team and a club from ground up from a Tasmanian point of view, it would be extremely exciting to any coach that wants to do the job. So I think if one candidate had the options of all three, I think it would be a long night thinking.
Adam Ramanauskas, a fascinating story. Thanks so much for pulling it apart for us. Appreciate it.
No worries, anytime, Patrick.
Headlines, and the tributes are continuing to roll for Neil Danaher after the Melbourne Footy Club legend died from motor neuron disease. Here's club captain Max Gawn speaking on Melbourne Radio.
It's hit me all different ways over the last 24 hours. I'm starting to get that parting grief where I wish I gave him like one last cuddle. Took him for granted a little bit, like the fact that he's been doing this for 12 years. You just thought he was going to be around forever. Mm. So the last couple of times I've seen him, it's just like, oh, see you next time, Neil. The one quote that sticks with me is when all is said and done, more is said than done. The mark of a man is not what he says, but what he does.
Mm.
And that is literally Neil.
Speaking of MND, did you see Jai Arrow has been in camp with Queensland ahead of Origin? The former Maroon retired last week as he revealed he has been diagnosed with the disease. Here's Queensland coach Billy Slater.
You know, to see Jai, you know, laughing, joking with his teammates, it was a really cool environment to be in. And yeah, we just thought that it was really important that, you know, we bring Jai in and for Jai. And the other thing was, you know, it was a great opportunity to celebrate Jai's career. We all know the journey that he's embarking on, and it's going to be a really tough one. We're all there for him as Queenslanders, as members of the rugby league community.
As for New South Wales, Ethan Strange will wear the Blues' starting number six jumper after a hamstring issue saw Mitchell Moses sidelined. Strange was brilliant in the Raiders' run to the finals last year. He will be making his Origin debut aged 21. A huge Socceroos blow, Riley McGree out of the World Cup, pinging a hamstring in Middlesbrough's championship playoff final defeat to Hull over the weekend. The attacker has been in great form for the English club, and that absolutely sucks. Alex Dimonor is through to the second round of the French Open. He thumped Toby Samuel in straight sets. You know who else won? Thanasi Kokkinakis. He needed five sets, as he almost always does. But he's into the next round. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to SEN, Triple M and Fox Sports for the extra audio used in this episode.